Greetings and salutations, movie fans. You have found the Blue Mondays podcast. This is our podcast dated October 26, 2009, and today Arthur and I will be discussing Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen. Okay, so welcome to the inaugural. It would be inaugural, right? That's the correct word. The inaugural broadcast of Blue Mondays. This is a Blu-ray review podcast. I am one of your hosts, Steve Kords.
And I am Arthur Chaplin.
And we both work for a quote-unquote major electronics realtor.
At least we...
Not
we
realtor, retailer.
Yes, we think we're major.
Yeah.
Pretty big guy on the block.
This is the first podcast, as inferred by the use of the word inaugural. I think we'll start off just by telling you guys a little bit about ourselves. You want to go first?
Sure. So, as we said, working for a major electronics retailer, obviously, considering we're here, having quite an interest in movies, Blu-ray, the technology, the fact that, you can just see things the way they were meant to be seen. And it's still very exciting and very new to me because I was probably the last guy on the block to adapt to HD. Up until a couple months ago, it was definitely the 27-inch tube TV from Walmart that everybody had at some point in their life. Up until now, where movie watching has really become an experience for me, the old 46-inch Samsung and the Blu-ray and the 1000 series monster cables and all the good stuff that goes along with it.
So you've really got quite a setup now.
Oh, now I do. Yeah. I'm sure it's not as good as some of the people that are listening, and I definitely don't have the audio set up the way it should be. But
that was my next question, because I'm not familiar with your audio yet.
So. Yeah, it's the speakers on the TV.
Oh, okay.
It's the situation where I watch most of my movies is not really conducive for loud booming explosions like the type that you hear in Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen,
which ironically is what we're going to be talking about today, isn't it?
Nice segues.
Segues are for kids.
In terms of what I am movie wise, I thrive for originality. I'm 30 years old, and by no means am I someone that's, gone to film school or watched 10,000 movies or anything like that. But just I see something, and I see it in every movie. The stuff that I enjoy is, something new, something exciting, and unfortunately, you don't see that too much nowadays.
Especially in the movie we're going to be talking about.
Yes, which is Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen.
Yes.
We need a bell.
Yeah.
Ding.
All right, a little bit about me. I'm a little bit older than Arthur. I'm in my early 40s, married. This podcast being... that's Bill. Say hi, Bill.
The inaugural Blue Monday podcast brought to you by an unnamed restaurant with a talking buffalo.
This is the point to tell you that we are now podcasting from an undisclosed location in southeastern Massachusetts, where they make really good chicken, and the heads on the wall talk to you at periodic intervals. Possibly not the best selection of a location for us to create our first podcast.
But it helps with atmosphere.
Oh, that's true. This place is smacking with atmosphere. Kind of hits you over the head with atmosphere. Kind of the way Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen, which we will eventually be talking about. All right, so I am, like I said, a little bit older than Arthur, in my early 40s, married, two kids, two great kids. A little bit more of a serious home theater setup. I do have the full-blown surround sound. Hello, raccoon. decent sub, good surround system, which is exactly the kind of thing that you're going to want for the movie we're going to be talking about. But it's a pretty decent setup. I started in with my whole home theater fascination back when I was like 10 years old. I bought my first TV myself at a yard sale. It was a big honking Sony Trinitron at a neighbor's house, like four or five houses down. I had to go home and get a wheelbarrow to get this thing home. And I remember setting it up in my room, and the Christmas before, my uncle had given me an old receiver that he had in his house, and my mom bought me a brand new cassette player. to plug into it. So I put it all
is that
together.
A hi-fi?
Oh yeah, I was all about the high fidelity. But I remember putting it all together there in my room on top of a bureau, and it was the TV and the receiver and the cassette player, and I was just like, wow, that looks really good together. People should do this. Little did I know what was coming. Then a little bit later on, I bought a VHS player, and the rest is history. You know, it just kind of started building from there. Now I've got a nice little tower of black boxes and a rack by a 46-inch Samsung DLP. That's about it. That pretty much brings us up to speed. So, okay, why don't we go ahead and start talking about the movie. Now, this was released a week and a half ago on Blu-ray. And I was actually doing some thinking about this. I think, you know, we're eventually going to come up with a rating system that's going to tell you guys whether or not we think this is a movie that you should buy, rent, you know, if you can buy it on sale. You know, we'll have different levels and all that. This is a movie that I actually saw rather reluctantly in the movie theaters because of the reviews that came out with it. But like I said, I've got twin 7-year-old boys. They needed to see this movie.
It was kind of a requirement.
Oh, yeah. So I was dragged to the theater. You didn't see it in the movie theater, did you?
I did not have a chance to see it in the theaters.
It was a bit of a chore, actually, I thought. through most of the movie, I was kind of rolling my eyes and just thinking, okay, action, 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 action. Okay, we have to stop for a little bit of plot exposition. All right, so, you know, please bring us up to speed, Optimus Prime. Okay, well, here is what's going on.
Is it just me, or did he sound like a narrator the entire movie?
The entire movie, yes. It was just like every once in a while they just had to stop, let him tell us why the hell we were going to Egypt, and then all of a sudden we're in Egypt.
Well, even like the level on his voice and the audio through the movie, even when he's doing dialogue with Shia LaBeouf, the star of Disney's Holes, just the way that he's
wow,
speaking.
Random.
Yeah. I figured I'd throw that in there for our younger listeners, because this is, of course, a family podcast.
Yeah.
You know, even just, hey, and live and in living color.
Yeah.
Hold on. Hey, I'm recording a podcast right now. What's going on?
Okay, and for those of you who are interested, yes, that did sound an awful lot like porn okay. music that was coming out of Arthur's phone just now. Oh, food's here. Thank you. This is going to be what's okay. wonderful about post-production, is I get to cut all of this out later.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
All right. Just give it to me when you come in on Sunday. And I hope you feel better, and I hope that you know that when the podcast gets published, you're going to be in the middle of it. Because you're being recorded.
Who is that so we can embarrass them later?
It is one of the co-workers from the unnamed large retail chain that I work at.
Oh, the big box?
The big box electronics retailer, yes.
Yes.
All right, feel better, dude.
Would that be the retailer that Sears is currently ripping off by saying that they're wearing blue shirts now, too?
Yes, it would be that one.
Oh, okay. Because we're not allowed. I don't think we're allowed to say the name.
Yeah. And boy, could I tell you stories, but
yeah.
I won't.
That's another podcast.
Yeah, that's an entirely different podcast.
Yeah.
So
but we were talking about the narration.
Yeah, just like the level of his voice and everything. It sounded like everything he was saying was a voiceover.
Yeah.
It just like it drowned out everything else that was happening at the time, and it only did it with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it struck me kind of as odd.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you couldn't tell, not a huge fan of the movie, although I am going to kind of do a complete 180 here. I think this is a really excellent Blu-ray, and I was thinking about this the other day, that there are some movies that would not do well in VHS or even DVD because of the limitations of those formats.
Mm-hmm.
If this weren't a Blu-ray, I would just be able to dismiss it completely, you know, just, you know, oh, it's nothing. But the fact that, you know, the boys require us to have this in the house.
It gets shipped in the mail with samples of Tide.
Oh, exactly. But there was just, there's something about those action sequences and the attention to detail. I mean, Michael Bay, God love him,
Someone has to.
That's true. Not exactly one to mull over character development and a lot of interesting plot. It's just like plot, robot porn, action fighting,
must get to now. That's pretty much my take on this, and you just kind of stole my thunder a little bit, but when I was thinking about what's the best way I could describe this movie, especially to someone who hasn't seen it, or to someone who's not in with the franchise, or Michael Bay, the first thing that came to mind was I started thinking back to being younger, even just, a few years ago. When you wanted to
29.
Watch a, yes, I know. When you wanted to watch a movie back in the days before, you know, torrents and LimeWire and digital downloads and
all
streaming
the evil
Netflix
illegal stuff
and,
that we, well, yeah, by the way, do not support.
Especially at our big box retailer.
Yes.
Back in those days, if you wanted to watch a movie, you went to a video store. And in said video store, there's videos lining the walls, and most of the good, reputable ones have a back room that you can't get into. And the back room's got a nice velvet curtain on it and everything like that. When you go in that room, for those of you who've been there, you know what you're getting. You're walking in, and you know when you're looking.
And you get music like we just heard from your phone.
Yes, from my ringtone. And when you see that stuff, when you walk into that room, you know that you're not going to be getting, you know, a Tony Award winning performance. You're not going to be getting Academy Award, Golden Globe stuff. You're there because you want to see what's on that tape.
Mm-hmm.
This movie and just Michael Bay in general, you use the term robot porn. I basically, it's explosion porn to me.
Yeah.
Because basically, like, it looks to me like Michael Bay sat down and he drew out a plan. And he's like, okay, explosion, explosion, explosion. Now we just need to loosely tie some plot together. Which is basically what happens in these backroom movies where they have action, action, action. And then in the middle, okay, well, in this one, you're going to be a plumber. And she's going to need her pipes fixed. And that's basically what this was. Because
and this is the family-friendly version of this podcast.
I'm doing the best I can, Steve. If you notice,
it's
I haven't dropped a single F-bomb. Because it's just that's what the movie was. It was just a series of explosions, and the plot that they threw in was just so loose. And a lot of it had me scratching my head, like, you know, specific points in the Blu-ray, like, okay, wait a minute, there's chunks of the AllSpark thing, like, okay, there's two chunks of that laying around. Okay, now, who are all these other people? You know, that just, oh, the premise of the movie in general, the Fallen.
Mm-hmm.
The whole first movie, there's no, you know, suggestion or mention or anything of this guy or this race of, you know, robots or whatever anywhere, and all of a sudden, you know, hey, NBE1.
The two races have been intertwined for millennia.
You know, Megatron reports to this guy. It's like, wait a minute, he didn't report to anybody in the first movie. Just to build off one other thing you said, too, you said you were very glad it was on Blu-ray because of the way that the action sequences worked and everything. I actually had a complaint about it, is specifically when it came to the characters of the twins.
They are the Jar Jar Binks of this movie.
Well, first of all, I'm not going to get into the fact of the profiling and how they made the characters, which was kind of terrible. But to me, it looks like they were just thrown in at the last minute. And you know, when you suspend disbelief and you're watching a Transformers movie and a giant robot movie, the first one, you step back for a second, you're like, wow, those look like real giant robots.
Yep.
These two characters, they looked animated. Like, it really looked like a Who Framed Roger Rabbit moment where you've got live action and all of a sudden here comes a cartoon.
Yeah, I didn't even pick up on that, but now that you mention it, you're 100% right. Oh, the raccoon's back.
But yeah, see, like, that's, I really wanted to come in to enjoy this because I enjoyed Transformers. It really wasn't bad, but then this one, it's just it was one of those backroom movies. It was, you know, it's good for what it is, but then all of a sudden, you know, you're trying to throw a plot in and it just doesn't work.
I think you just coined a phrase. The backroom movie. Yeah. And actually I had a thought. I made a note while I was watching this movie about the twins and how they would have been so much less annoying if Michael Bay had called in maybe a couple of favors. Can you imagine Martin Lawrence and Will Smith as the twins?
Chris Rock.
Yeah, okay.
Would have been absolutely, yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking because, you know, Michael Bay went back and he directed Bad Boys, you know, and to get those two together and make, like, Bad Boys the robot version, you know, now that would have been interesting. I think that would have been a really funny thing to do. He definitely has the clout to do it. And what would it have been? 2 or 3 days on a soundstage?
Yeah.
You know, not even a soundstage, in a recording booth for these guys? You know, they hang out, they have some sandwiches, they talk into microphones, you know, kind of like today for us. But, you know, it just would have been an interesting dynamic instead of these two insanely stupid, you know.
And much like in Star Wars, you don't actually see the death of Jar Jar Binks, so there's no satisfaction. Much in this, I was waiting for them to just get hit by a wood chipper that just transforms or something, but it didn't happen.
Like that, the giant robot. Like, I mean, okay, we've ripped on Bay enough, and that's easy enough.
Well, I got a few more in me. I brought notes.
Oh, okay. But I mean, let's talk about a couple things that we did like about the movie. You know, we got to start off by saying special effects. For the most part, and there's going to be one or two little complaints about this as well, for the most part, the effects were really, really good. There was one part in there where I noticed just a little thing that just completely floored me. It just shows that Michael Bay really does get some good quality people to work with him. Unfortunately, they're not writers. There's a scene where Shia LaBeouf is talking with Optimus in a graveyard. Weird location. But he's looking up at Optimus and basically making the case for him being a regular guy. He wants to go to college and just step out of the whole Save the Earth role for a little while. And there, I don't know if you saw this, but on the windshield that is on the truck and transforms into Optimus's chest when he's in the robot mode, there was mud dripping down from the ride over there. And it was just something that I actually paused it and went back and took a look at it. And there are little things like this kind of peppered throughout the movie that you're not going to really notice unless you're sitting there with a notebook and, you know, writing stuff and you've got your this worked and your much longer list of this didn't work. I still can't stop ripping on it. even when I'm talking about stuff I like, I got to pick it apart.
Well, just, I mean, my one of my last points, I guess, for ripping on it, and it's the, when we spoke in the introduction about just how I yearn for originality in Hollywood, this had the potential to be really original, and then all of a sudden it picked off a couple of
made a movie based on a 1970s cartoon show, which was in turn based on a fleet of toys?
Well, more original than some.
Oh, okay.
As original as just about anything that's coming out. But some of the things that recently I just looked at it and I'm like, wow, that's not even a thinly veiled homage, or that's not even, you know, that's just a blatant ripoff. Is there's a couple times, like, you know, the first half of the movie, you know, Sam goes to college, and there's a killer robot disguised as a female, a very well-endowed, sexy female, trying to seduce and or kill him. And I'm just sitting here looking at this and going, wait a minute, this is really cool. I really liked when they did this in Terminator 3.
Or how about Species?
Or Species. And the same thing, too, is they pull out this, like, little tiny goo-covered robot and stick it in his mouth and it goes down inside of him. And I'm like, wow, this was cool in The Matrix. And people just really want to call me in the middle of a podcast.
That's okay, I'm digging the music.
Hello.
For those of you who haven't guessed, Arthur's in, he's a member of leadership at our big box, blue shirt wearing major electronics retailer.
That by inference you figured out isn't Sears. yeah, and evidently they can't make it a day without me. But yeah, they just blatantly took a couple of things, and I'm talking from recent movies. Like you said, oh yeah, this is from a cartoon from the 70s, blah, blah, blah. Okay, 30, 40 years is a good amount of time to say, okay, we can reuse an idea. But, you know, when the three movies like Terminator, Species, Matrix, like, these all came out in, like, the last 5 or 10 years. I mean, this is all fresh in everybody's mind. Even younger listeners, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old, are going to be like, oh, wait, I saw that before.
Do you think 12, 13, 14-year-old kids are going to be listening to us?
You never know. It's the internet, man.
Yeah, that's true.
I suppose I can continue to rip on it. In terms of the one thing, you know, like you made mention of, you know, bringing in Martin Lawrence or something like that and only having them work 2 or 3 days. Someone that worked 2 or 3 days on this movie and was in it way too much was Sam's parents. The comic relief every 5 seconds with the mother.
You know, that is so weird because one of the things that I liked the best about the first movie were his parents.
Yeah.
And the way they were embarrassing and, you know, they wanted to be so involved in his life and they just didn't get it. And they were so clueless. And those same qualities drove me up the frickin' wall in this movie. I mean, this woman had to have grown up in the late 70s, early 80s, and she's never heard of pot brownies?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. And
you think about teaching messages.
I didn't hear it, but I was just downstairs, and good for Sam.
It's a family-friendly show, so I'm not going to the family-friendly kids at home. If you're on a college campus and a Rastafarian offers you something in a baggie, evidently take it, because that's Sam's mom says it's cool. So.
Yeah, that was another problem. But, okay, so overall, I mean, I guess you could go back and listen to this and realize that, no, we didn't really enjoy the movie.
I came in with high hopes. Like, I wanted it to be good, and I'm sitting here in the dark when I'm watching this with a book light.
Would that be, you know, physically or metaphorically?
Oh, no, sitting in, like, of course, if you're watching a movie on a 46-inch Samsung, you sit down and you turn off the lights. So I'm sitting in the dark watching this movie. And, you know, with my book light, and I'm writing my notes, and I go back and I read my notes, and I'm like, wow, I didn't write anything good about this.
Yep.
And I really wanted to.
I can think of one really good thing that happened for you.
What's that?
You got it through Netflix.
Yeah.
I paid 24 bucks for this thing. So if anybody's got a right to complain, it's me.
Yeah.
Happy children, right? It's all about the kids. All right, now, did you get a chance to, because we don't want to just, you know, go off on the film. We want to actually talk about the Blu-ray. Special effects and, you know, how it looked and sounded. I think I'll speak to this because you didn't have the opportunity to listen to anything. But there's a lot of, like, rear channel action. Wow, that sounded dirty when I said it out loud. But, no, the rear speakers are hit a lot. The subwoofer will be given a really good workout. You know, the transforming sounds and everything like that got, you know, really good play. And one thing that I was expecting, because in the movie theater, I remember thinking, this was a loud freaking movie. But they went back and did something with the sound levels, and they mixed it a little bit better. Or maybe I just had my settings on my... Oh, hey. We're being serenaded.
You miss the guy sitting in the corner with the laptop and the headsets on.
Yeah. Actually, it's just like us and a couple of older couples over on the other side, which is kind of nice.
Transformers, A Flavorful Journey.
Yeah. So this is actually keeping in, you know, he's a robotic animatronic creature, which is annoying. Much like Michael Bay's Transformers 2.
Don't anger him. He'll come out of the wall.
Yeah. But what was I saying? Oh, yes, the sound levels. I don't know if it was just because the people at the movie theater did not have our they did not have the levels set right or something, but it sounded a lot better in my living room than it did in the movie theater, which is strange because, I mean, we saw it in Randolph, which is one of the better movie theaters in the area as far as the technology goes. Now, the... Special effects great, sound was really great. Did you get a chance to listen to any of the commentary? Or?
I made it through a decent portion of it, and much like the movie itself, the commentary was, hey, did you see that explosion? Yeah, it was a pretty big explosion. Hey, coming up is another pretty big explosion. Watch what they did with the explosion here. Look at all the minor explosions in the background while the major one's going off. I hoped for content.
Yeah.
There wasn't much to be found.
Well, there is a second disc, which if you are a Netflix subscriber, you have to specifically request that disc, and it does come out of your total number of selections.
Disc
so
Q.
Most people don't bother with that unless you're a nerd like me. One of the big things that actually attracted me, primarily, this will tell you a little bit about my background here. My first video disc player was a Laserdisc player. Those big platters that were as big as 33 RPM records. Yeah, I had one of those. I spent nearly $90 on the Criterion edition of Silence of the Lambs on 6 discs. We had to get up 5 times during the course of the movie and either flip or change discs. So
wow.
I'm a content whore. I love, you know, extra bonus stuff. I remember Ebert and Roper talking about Laserdisc when it first came out, and the Criterion edition of... Yes, I am pimping Criterion. So if you do work for Criterion and you happen to get a copy of this podcast and would like to send us a few things to review, we would be more than happy to do that for you. But the extra features and things like that are something that I really enjoy. Now, some of them were... very good. Some of them were utter crap. You could see that there's a bevy of those little talking head documentaries that you pretty much see everywhere now, where they show some footage from the film, talking head, you know, this was really important, we did this, and, you know, we wanted to stay true to the whole history of the Transformers, and there are people out there who, if we escape from canon, you know, would come down and rain fury upon us. And you know, they did show that in the treatment of the characters and stuff and such, they tried to stay true to the original stuff, you know, the original animated series and the toys and things, which is not all that important to me. I was not a huge Transformers person when I was younger. I think my age just kind of made me miss it a little bit. Actually, I think you were in the right age to grow up with Transformers.
Definitely did.
Yeah.
It was still a Saturday morning cartoon, and then when you discovered, wait a minute, this is from Japan, and there's a whole lot of extra stuff that I can get from this, and, you know, start importing tapes, and that's, you know, how you start getting interested in stuff like that.
Yeah. But, you know, so those were kind of interesting, but a little common, you know. It's just the same stuff you see on pretty much every Blu-ray and DVD release. They did have one thing that would be very cool for, you know, younger kids or anything, where you actually get to design your own Transformer. Very simple little application where you basically choose one of 4 or 5 vehicles. You choose a color, you choose weapons and things like that, and then it will put together a robot mode for that. You know, 40-year-old guy got bored with it real fast. You know, especially when they turned the Hummer into something that looked kind of like a giant toaster with a gun on its head. You know, that really didn't work. But
well, much like the original series, when Megatron would turn into a pistol.
Yes.
And would be 30 feet tall, and then all of a sudden would be bite-sized, and somebody could carry him around.
It's for kids.
Hey, folks.
Hey, back
hey, what's
at
up,
you.
Bill?
So I'm starting to look forward to his little conversations, so we can take a couple of bites. Is he done now?
Yeah. So when we started this, and we were talking about the whole process of getting a podcast going, and you were saying, oh, well, there's this such and such a podcast, and it's 30, 40 minutes long. It's like, how can you possibly talk for 30 or 40 minutes about something?
As we cross the 29-minute mark.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. There was something I was getting to. Oh, yes, the bonus features. One of the coolest things I thought in the bonus features, and this is just, it is just for me. There were some of those documentaries where some of the special effects people and all that were talking about the impact that the writer's strike had on the production of Transformers.
That's their excuse.
Well, that's what they're saying. That's their story. And I can actually see how that may have had, you know, some actual impact on continuity and, you know, making sure that everything is going to make sense. But one of the guys who was working in the special effects department told a story about how Michael Bay, and he didn't use, these are my words, not his, but Michael Bay was basically acting like a kid suffering from ADD on a sugar high who would run in and out of the room and say, you know, basically come running in and say, I just saw this really cool special on the on alluvial tubes forming in volcanoes, and I think we ought to incorporate that into some of the stuff in here, and we can have lava shoot up, and it'll go bang, and then there'll be an explosion, and what do you think? Okay, try to work it in. And then he'd just run out. And, you know, some of that stuff actually had to make it into the movie because, you know, he was – you know, executive producer and director and all that. I just think it's hilarious to see the actual process of having to work with Michael Bay. So that is one part of this film that I really did enjoy, were some of those little things. But most of it was pretty standard fare. So I think that's about all I've got to say about about that.
I mean, I have more things that I could complain about the plot, but you know, I don't want to be a one trick pony.
Yeah, well, the director was so.
Zing!
Yeah. But why don't we talk just for a quick minute now that we've gotten our first movie review? Oh, by the way, just to finish it up, my thoughts on whether to buy or rent. If you have a decent home theater system and you want a disc to just really show off, you know, you want people to come over and you want to show them what Blu-ray can really do, you could choose movies that would be worse than Transformers 2. I think if you sit down and try to watch it and actually follow a plot line, you're probably going to develop some sort of a brain aneurysm. But if you've got kids like me who absolutely have to have their explosions and such, then you know it's not a bad thing to buy. Otherwise, I'd just say it's a rental.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got it through Netflix.
Yeah. And my kids are glad that it's going to be sitting on the shelf forever right next to the copy of Transformers 1, which I'm probably going to put in when I get home so I can clean this out.
So where does this take us for Transformers 3?
Oh, Transformers 3.
And I think I just witnessed a brain aneurysm.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay, this is pretty easy. Alluvial tubes, explosion, pipe cleaning.
Power ballad, roll credits.
Don't want to close my eyes.
Oh, please. All right, so what do you think should be something else that we do with this podcast? I'd like to see something where we have a couple of segments, you know, maybe talk about a catalog release, a new release. One thing that I would definitely like to do is, you know, see if we can get early copies so that the whole concept. Actually, maybe we should explain what Blue Monday actually means. And of course, I asked that. I did wait tables in college, and I waited until Arthur had just taken a nice big bite of chicken before I asked him that. And he's chewing,
And that's the best part too. Is I was like, oh, Steve's talking. I can eat a piece of chicken real quick.
Gotcha.
Well, Blue Mondays, hopefully, when things get rolling, as they should, we'll be able to review Blu-rays, the technology, the movie, give you all sorts of interesting information like we have here with Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. On Monday, before the traditional release of most of your new release Blu-rays and things like that, we can be that guy, that friend that tells you, hey, you know, this was explosion porn. You probably don't want to pick it up. Before you go out and drop the $29.99 or more on whatever that disc is, we can
but
be.
But couldn't that negatively impact our stock values?
Well, if we're that smart friend and we come up with some movies that.
I was waiting for you to say smart friend.
I was trying to work it in there.
Yeah.
You know, and we can give out some good advice on maybe even some existing stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, catalog releases, things like that. The new release, maybe we can do something with, you know, we'll do a new release and, you know, an old classic, you know.
That'd be good, because you know what, another thing that is happening is a lot of Blu-rays, especially as we get toward Christmas, mm-hmm. Prices on the software are dropping markedly. Yeah. Markedly.
Hardware, too, like especially the new Insignia that can stream Netflix and...
And where... Insignia. Where is that product available?
That's at a large, big box electronics retailer.
Isn't that an exclusive brand?
It is.
It is. Okay. So you can only buy an Insignia Blu-ray player at that particular...
Yes. In Insignia, it's easy to spell, and you just shoot it into Google. It'll bring you right there.
That's pretty cool. Which, by the way, our employer is not paying for anything. Right, they're not. Well, aside from my mortgage,
yeah.
But not for this podcast. That's for what we do there.
And this chicken I'm not eating.
Yes, it's getting cold, but you know, cold snowbird chicken is better than no snowbird chicken. Yeah. So the sacrifices we make so that you guys know which Blu-rays you can buy. So anyway, actually, one of my kids came up with the whole concept of, because we talked about Blue Mondays being the title for the podcast,
yep.
And Ronan actually said Blue Mondays mean Happy Tuesdays.
There you go.
So that is their podcast, actually, is the Happy Tuesdays podcast. So, you know, once we get this thing up and running, we'd like to do a couple of things where we have, like, some contests and all that. We do have some contact information, which I'm going to put at the beginning of this, but just in case I forgot, you can actually reach us at Blue Mondays, B-L-U, no E. We dropped the E for extra savings.
Wow.
Yeah. BLUMONDAYS at Comcast.net. Arthur and I both have access to that account, and you can drop us a line there. Hopefully, we're going to be setting up a website sometime soon, and we'll have some options there. Like one of my favorite podcasts, and yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and plug it here, are the HT guys, and I really like their model. They've got forums set up where people can chat about stuff on their site. There's also a link there for, you know, buy them a cup of coffee. Because producing a podcast actually does cost some money. You know, it's going to cost us money for storage, for bandwidth.
For chicken.
Chicken, yeah. And, you know, basically what the guys at Home Theater Forum, not Home Theater Forum, that the HT guys do is they use, they've got this thing called Buy Me a Cup of Coffee, which is essentially like a PayPal type thing, mm-hmm. where if you really enjoy the podcast, you can throw them $1, $2 or whatever, you know, once a month or whatever you want. And they use it to buy new gear to review and, you know, pay for the website and the bandwidth and everything. And if we can turn this little hobby into something that essentially just pays for itself and maybe every once in a while allows us to take the wives out for dinner, that would be a good thing. You know, I'm not asking you to do it. I'm just going to tell you that there will be an option available for it eventually.
Yeah, there's no guilt involved either. I mean, like, you know, we can feed our spouses in other ways. It would just be nice to take them out to a place that has talking mooses.
Yes, every once in a while.
Yeah. Chicken.
Yay, chicken. All right, well, I think 37 minutes is probably long enough for the first one.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to cut that down a little bit.
Pretty good show, 0.5, yeah. I suppose, because we're not totally into the format yet, but it's a good measuring stick, I would imagine.
And if you do have any questions, comments, you want to see something reviewed, you have some ideas for the show, we're open to pretty much anything. This is your show as much as it is ours.
Yep.
He lied. You know. No, but seriously, we would value any input that can be given to us, so feel free to go ahead and drop us a line.
Just a couple of guys doing this for fun.
Yep. So, that's about it. So, remember, I think I'm going to make that our tagline. So, Blue Mondays lead to Happy Tuesdays.
Yes.
Okay.
You happier.
Nice. All right. Well, have a good week, everybody, and hopefully see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
You're listening to...